Welcome, Deputy Minister of International Relations, Alvin Bouters. Our meeting is not supposed to be a long one because we are also expected to attend the budget votes which are proceeding in various venues. We are hoping by 11 o'clock we'll be done. Assumably, all members got the report electronically from the secretary and his team, and assumably, all members read the report so that you are able to engage on issues today if there are any issues to engage before we adopt. I'm going to allow our team to start from the observations, if that is fine with the members, instead of doing page by page the report. Start from page 29, do the observations and the findings, and then recommendations, and then we move for the adoption. But before that, we will allow the secretary to give us the apologies. There's a program in front of us. If there's any apologies, they will present those apologies. After that, we should straight to the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So we have two apologies. The first one from Deputy Minister Maseko Dlamini. She's attending the Commonwealth Foreign Affairs Ministers meeting in London. And the second one is from Honorable Mola. He's attending the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Correctional Services. Thank you, Chair. Yes.
Luyanda was here earlier. He's also submitted an apology that he's meeting the DG in preparation for the minister's speech. Thank you.
Without wasting time, I will allow Dinawa to present the report, starting from the observations or findings, and then the recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Section 10 of the report is on observations and concerns raised by the committee during the meeting. 10.1, it says the committee had wished that since it was the first engagement of the department, it would have made a detailed introduction on its work, its audits, baseline successes and challenges it could be facing, to give members a holistic perspective into the unique mandate of the department. 10.2, the committee noted the undertaking by the department that they would endeavor to achieve their set annual objectives within the allocated tight budget. However, more details were sought on how the department planned to navigate without compromising on the deliverables of South Africa's foreign policy. It was further asked whether the budget review takes into account the late assessments of membership fees by international organizations. 10.3, there were challenges facing the department which would impact on its overall budget. A detailed explanation was sought on how the department would contain expenditure within the reduced compensation of the employees, as this largely paid in foreign currency. It was noted that there would be a projected shortfall of 429 million on compensation of the employees based on field positions. The department was asked what steps it would take to contain expenditure within the prescribed ceiling. On 10.4, Chairperson, the committee further noted that the department was also facing scenarios of unexpected, though unavoidable, expenditure due to its international obligations this financial year, such as the shortfall for the 2019 on South Africa's annual SADC membership state's contribution amounting to 43.5 million. And furthermore, South Africa will be assuming the chairship of the African Union in 2020. More details were sought on how the department would implement its international obligations with no additional funds allocated from National Treasury for this event, and whether the National Treasury is being engaged on these matters. 10.5, two cost drivers impacting on the budget of the department were identified. These were the budget ceiling on compensation of employees and the operational leases for around 1,000 rented premises abroad. Both these items are impacted upon by the fluctuation of major currencies affecting the rand. Mitigating factors put in place with regard to employees included the deferment of filling some posts of transferred personnel. It was further noted that the department had commissioned a foreign policy review panel, which among others proposed that the rationalization of South Africa's missions abroad should be considered in the future to address this challenge. Nonetheless, it was felt that rationalization should not impact on Africa and the African agenda. 10.6, a need was identified for future regular political engagements and discussions between the minister and the committee on various international affairs issues. This would enable the committee, as the public's representative, to understand the politics behind certain positions that South Africa has to take in multilateral forums. 10.7, more information was sought on the kind of support that South Africa will be extending to four countries which will be holding elections in 2019. These are namely Botswana, Malawi, which has already happened, Mozambique, Namibia. Then 10.8, honourable members, the department was has conducted a feasibility study on the viability of developing an acquisition and disposal strategy. This is aimed to promote a shift towards property ownership over rental. More detail was sought on the result of such a study and progress related to its initial application in the mission in New York. 10.9, it was noted that South Africa was serving a third term as a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council for 2019 and 2020. It was said there would be a need for a thorough briefing on how South Africa utilizes its seat in the UN Security Council in pursuance of South Africa's foreign policy. 10.10, more details were sought regarding how the existence of an African continental free trade area would address this challenge, and how South Africa would embrace the investment drive by President Ramaphosa using the continental tool. 10.11, the Cuban government has been diligently repaying the loan ahead of its stipulated time. Cuba was commended for having paid back ahead of time a large percentage of its current loan with the South African government. The gesture was seen as a true reflection of solidarity and cooperation under the auspices of the South-South relations. It was further noted that the ARF is now looking into issuing investment loans in the future, such as the one with Cuba. 10.12, more details were sought regarding the impact on the activities of the ARF by recalling of 85 million by National Treasury from its 2018-19 surplus funds. This was seen as threatening to limit the historical mandate of the ARF as a soft power tool to leverage aspirations of South Africa's foreign policy. 10.13, more information was sought on whether this financial year SATPA would be operationalized and the ARS repealed to address all the challenges facing the ARS. It was further noted that the department has been having the same indicator in previous years regarding the tabling of the Partnership Fund for Development Bill. 1014, more information was needed on the political and rand value of South Africa's membership to international organizations. 1015, a detailed report was requested on the projects receiving funding from the African Renaissance Fund, their current status, project oversight reports for active projects, and completion reports where projects are closed. This would assist the committee to draw up its own oversight strategy on the entity. 10.16, more information was sought regarding finalized disciplinary cases, including one concerning the chief financial officer. 10.17, there was a need for more detail on the department's roadmap to use economic diplomacy to increase intra-Africa trade. This should extend to how it intended to respond to the need to attract FDI, foreign direct investment required for Operation Pakisa, and the President's drive to create job opportunities. 10.18, more information was needed on the circumstances rendering irregular and also fruitless expenditure in the operations of the department as stipulated in the Auditor General's annual report of previous years. 10.19, it was observed that the department budget figures as they were, not correlating. I think they will have to correct that. And the department was asked to give an explanation and review them. 10.20, detailed information was requested on the progress relating to the 10 flagship projects being pursued under the auspices of the African Union Agenda 2063. 10.21, more information was requested on South Africa's posture for keeping the reform of the United Nations Security Council alive on the agenda of the UN. 10.22, an update was sought regarding steps taken thus far to address the shortcomings identified in the Auditor General's report of 2017. Special focus was on the matters relating to the upgrading and integration of the departmental ICT systems, the completeness of the asset register, and compliance with prescripts of supply chain management. 10.23, it was noted that South Africa has a basket of allocated quotas in strategic international organizations that it is party to. It was asked how far the department had gone in attracting South Africans to this position. 10.24, the committee requested the department to submit a detailed report on the processes thus far regarding the provision of a permanent headquarters for the Pan-African Parliament. 10.25, Chairperson, an update was sought on the status of the Foreign Service Bill 2015. It was also asked 10.26 how far the department was from the growth target predicted by the National Development Plan. 2027, more clarity was sought on the relationship between the mandate of the department and that of Brand SA, and how they synchronized efforts towards promoting the image of the country. 10.28, it was noted that some of the challenges facing the department were that some service contracts had expired, though still being utilized. It was questioned why such contracts were left to continue running while illegal. 10.29, it was observed that from the reports of the Auditor General and the presentation by the department, there was a tendency to ignore the prescripts of the PFMA. The department was urged to comply with requisite legislation while executing its mandate. 10:30, the committee recalled that its mandate translates to overseeing and ensuring accountability in the formulation and implementation of South Africa's foreign policy. It further noted that the mandates of the department and its entity are largely executed abroad by the department and its South African diplomatic missions abroad. The committee concluded that in order for the committee to assess service delivery on foreign policy, it must be able to oversee the work of the department, its entity, and South African missions where they operate, beyond the borders of South Africa. The committee noted with concern that the current inward-looking parliamentary oversight model imposed challenges on the mandate of the committee. It allows a limited space for oversight beyond the borders of South Africa, in that it largely allows oversight within the borders of South Africa. Otherwise, the committee would conduct oversight abroad where South Africa's foreign policy is implemented. Chairperson, these are the findings by the committee on that day.
Honourable members, can we also do recommendations so that when we input on both the observations and the recommendations at once? Thank you.
It's page 39. They read as follows, Chairperson. Having considered the revised strategic plan 2015 to 2020 and the budget vote 6 of the department 2019-20 and its entity, the committee recommends that the minister should consider the following and report on progress within 3 months of adoption of the National Assembly of this report. 13.1 is that the minister should consider reporting on how the department will reprioritize its work in order to find adequate resources for financing activities to be borne from South Africa's international obligations as the chair of a number of multilateral organizations in 2019-20. 13.2, the minister should consider ensuring compliance with the prescripts of the PFMA and related regulations of supply chain management. 13.3, consider having regular political engagements and discussions with the committee on international issues that impact upon South Africa's foreign policy. 3.4, consider finalizing processes and interdepartmental negotiations towards the operationalization of South African Development and Partnership Agency, SADPA. Consider reporting on progress towards the upgrading and integration of the departmental ICT systems. Consider developing a strategy to attract South Africans to fill quotas allocated in international organizations to which South Africa is a member, and focus on middle management levels. 13.7, consider reporting on the processes regarding the provision of a permanent headquarters for the Pan-African Parliament. 13.8, consider concretizing the implementation of the pilot project to acquire property abroad for the utilization by missions abroad via alternative funding in order to cap cost of leasing properties abroad. 13.9, consider finalizing pending disciplinary cases, especially the matter regarding the chief financial officer. 13.10, consider assessing and reporting on how the recall of the surplus monies by National Treasury from the African Renaissance Fund would impact on its mandate as a soft power tool for South Africa's foreign policy. 13.11, considering the issue of rationalization of missions as recommended by the review panel to South Africa's foreign policy. 13.2, consider reporting on the state of preparedness and strategies for the department for the assumption of the chairship of the African Union by South Africa through President Ramaphosa in 2020. And 13, consider reporting on the department's work in the UN Security Council as a non-permanent member for a third term. Focus should be on how South Africa utilizes its seat in pursuance of South Africa's foreign policy. 13.14, consider developing a turnaround strategy to stay within the predetermined budget ceiling for the compensation of employees. 13.15, consider reporting on the progress made with regard to the 10 flagship projects being pursued under the auspices of the African Union Agenda 2063. 13.16, consider reporting on cost containment measures that will be taken to address the shortfall of 429 million on compensation of employees and the shortfall for 2019 on South Africa's annual SADC member states contribution amounting to 43 million. 13.17, consider graduating from the qualified audit opinion with findings to a clean audit report in 2018-19 financial year. Then the committee is also making recommendations to Parliament, to the National Assembly. 13.8, the parliamentary oversight model should allow the Portfolio Committee on International Relations and Cooperation to have more regular oversight visits to South African missions abroad in order to have a holistic approach on the performance abroad of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. 13.9, the parliamentary oversight model should allow the Portfolio Committee on International Relations and Cooperation to have more regular visits to project areas of the African Renaissance and International Cooperation Fund, ARF, in order to have a holistic approach on the performance abroad of the entity of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. And 13.20, Chairperson, the Portfolio Committee should be allowed to conduct oversight visits to international organizations that the Republic of South Africa is a state party. This would enable the committee to assess the impact of the department's participation on the overall outcomes of such forums. And the committee recommends that budget vote 6, international relations and cooperation, be passed. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, can we deliberate on the report? We are allowed to do that now. Honorable Msane, Honorable Nkosi, Honorable Moshwe, Honorable Chetty, Hans, Honorable Whip of the committee, are you waiting for the others to raise issues so that you also raise issues? Honorable Sani.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to everyone. Thank you for the report. It's very well detailed, and I think it's captured most of what was discussed. There was an item that was discussed, the department raised as a flag that when other departments go abroad, they don't communicate with DERCO. So I don't know how we can capture that into the report because it's a very concerning matter. And then they also raised that it's very difficult to train people which they employ in foreign countries. So we also need to capture that so that we can see how we can discuss it moving forward. And then we also raised as a committee the deployment to back offices in our affiliations like the PAP and those institutions, which I don't remember what was the report that we received from the department, Gucci, how do they deploy to those back offices. And then we were also promised the asset register from the department. I don't see that being captured. Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Chair. I think on 13.2, ensuring compliance with the prescripts of the PFMA and related regulations for supply chain management, and I would add and institute a consequence management mechanism to deal with such distortions. On page 39. Just to add that there must be consequence management so that when our report is considered also by SCOPA, they know that we have asked the department to not only deal with transgressions but have a regime to do consequence management. On page 40 to the National Assembly, I think on this one I'm taking chances, but I think I should. That instead of us saying the parliamentary oversight medal shouldn't we be be resolute to say that it must be reviewed to allow the portfolio committee, which will have implications for 13 and 20, so that the wording we don't couch it such that there is some discretion allowed to the presiding officer. Because my understanding is that it's not the presiding officers that refuse, but it's the way the model is implemented and the way it is crafted that disables this committee to do the things that are outlined in 13.8 to 20. So if it just become a bit prescriptive, it may assist. And then maybe on the sources, it may assist just to number them, because as they are, they read like a paragraph. So just say one sources, National Treasury will be one, and then sequentially up to 10. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. One of the questions we raised last week was a request for a list of international treaties that were signed. And this has not been captured. And when can we have that? The issue of the white paper that was approved by Cabinet and has been stalled, there's no clarity why it has been stalled, because Cabinet approved it. So is it going to be given to this committee, or what's going to happen to that white paper? And then 13.6, under recommendations, we're talking about developing a strategy to attract South Africans to fill quotas. Now, is there no such a strategy, and does this mean that South Africans have never applied to fill these quotas? And if the answer is yes, why has it taken so long to come with such a strategy? Thank you.
Honorable Mbanza.
Thank you, Chair. My apologies for coming late. I had a clash of responsibilities. I had to sort them out. Chair, I think let us commend the team that has compiled this report. It's a very good written report, and it captures what transpired at the committee. And I think, Chairperson, I'm very much happy with also the recommendations that are directed to the National Assembly. I support the amendment that has been made in terms of being emphatic about the review of the oversight model, because we have been complaining about this committee way of working, the desktop approach. And I think this recommendation is going to change that kind of modus operandi of the committee, because definitely we have to be able to play oversight role in everything that has to do with the committee and the department. And Chair, having said that, now I just want to move for the adoption of the report.
We are not there yet. There's still speakers and honorable members are here to deliberate on the report. Honorable Chetty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thanks for the protection as well. Madam Chair, I'll just take you back to 10.19, where the discrepancy around the budget figures we raised at the last meeting. And yet again, it is absolutely astounding to see within a week, within 1 week, from what we were presented last week to this week, 300 million has been adjusted in Program 5. Last week, under Program 5 for international transfers, we were given the report at 855 million. This morning when I go to the report, if you look at what Program 5 says, it's now 1.1 billion. If we can get clarity on what is transferred between last week and this week, it will be appreciated. Furthermore, Chairperson, there was a concern raised around, in 2018-19, around the Minister establishing the Foreign Policy Review Panel. We raised it at the last meeting as well, and we thought we'll get some report back to this meeting before we could conclude, and it's not in the report. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Honorable Faber.
Thank you, Chairperson. Glad that you can remember me, as I came from international relations on the NCOP for the last 5 years. Chairperson, yes, on page 19, I see that the department's international property portfolio consists of approximately 163 state-owned properties in excess of 1,000 rented properties. In the previous term, we asked the international relations in the select committee as well. They did not think about maybe saving money on specifically like the V4 nations, using maybe one consul or one embassy for four or three nations, African nations, to cut costs, instead of having all these properties or embassies or consuls, and perhaps just have a smaller footprint on that, but still be a few African nations perhaps in one property, instead of having all the properties at huge cost.
Is that a suggestion?
Yes, Chairperson. As I don't see it here, and I just want continuity from the previous parliament, that international relations may be looking into that.
But then we are moving from a premise of our previous meeting of the portfolio, not a fifth administration. We are discussing this SB, that particular session we had. Thank you. Honorable Mulder, do you reserve your right to comment?
I do.
Thank you very much. I will allow Dineo to clarify on certain issues. And I think editing the report won't take much if you are agreeing on some of the inclusions which are raised here in the meeting. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The one honourable member raised on the deployment to PEP, I think I missed the gist of the question, so that I can explain.
We've got a number of affiliations that South Africa is paying, like your Pub Sadec, Owaira, and those type of deployments. So we did say that we would like to know how do they deploy to the back offices the staffing of those affiliates.
Okay, Honourable Member, thank you. Through you, Chairperson. The issue of quotas actually covers what the Honourable Member is raising at the moment, because there are quotas which are, a basket of quotas, positions that are allocated each country that is a paying member to an international organization. So from cleaners upwards, there is a way that South Africans themselves can benefit. The department, I think they will be able to discuss that further with us, because there is a recommendation in the report that they should explain. I mean, they should try and have a strategy, because the response from the department, Chairperson, was that they have tried to attract South Africans to go, to work in these international organizations, and South Africans tend to compare salaries. They find salaries in those international organizations not so attractive. So it's things like that. So the committee now is suggesting that, it's recommending to the minister to devise another way of enticing or attracting, making those positions attractive to South Africans. So it's there in the recommendations. I don't know if it's enough. Then the one on the consultative mechanism. Consultative mechanism, Chairperson, we can include it in. There is, in the body of the report, there is somewhere where we actually refer to it to say it is a problem at the moment, and the department is hoping that the Foreign Service Bill will actually address that issue. So it's in the body of the report, but we can highlight it and take it into the comments and findings by the members. The other, Chairperson, it's up to, through your guidance, whether they are taken in or not. I was just explaining the ones that needed clarity.
Any follow-ups on the clarity? No follow-ups. Honourable Chief.
Chair, I think it responds to the difference in the 300 million from one department to the other department in one week.
As first, Honourable Members, these numbers, we took them from the APP, the latest APP which was tabled by the department, because the figures which they had last week, which were not corresponding, were from the ENE, which is supposed to be the one actually, giving a true picture of what the department is going to get. So the department had their numbers even different from the ENE. So this is the official one that we have, they have tabled. But I think through you, Chairperson, you still have time after the budget vote to actually ask, when they come to report on the first quarter, on the fourth and the first quarter, to actually give a clear picture of where these figures are. But at the moment, this is the official one that was tabled in the APP.
I was hoping that the Deputy Minister could assist on that. I don't know whether you captured the question on the adjustment. DM, you did not. I
Honourable Chair, can you repeat that?
Thanks, Chair. And I think, Chair, please forgive me if I get a bit frustrated. We are presented with the first amount on what was sent through by the 2019 MTEF allocation in the first report prior to our sitting last week. When the department gave us the presentation, those figures changed, and they said to us that there were some adjustments made, and this is why the figures were different. So that became the official figures. And right now, today, we're sitting here with a new report, and again, the figures have changed, and there's been an adjustment of 300 million to International Transfers Program 5. And that has come through from Program 1 Administration and Program 2 International Relations. So my question is, if we have a meeting tomorrow, are we then going to get another set of figures that are different and to be told that this is now the latest one that is correct? Because it seems like every single time we have a meeting and we have a report, these figures are changing and we've been told that this is now the official one. And with all due respect, we were just told that when the department comes next week, they can explain it to us. My fear is if they come next week, they'll give us a different allocation as well. And I just want to get some consistency, Madam Chair. Thank you.
DM?
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Look, I think the portfolio committee must insist on consistency, because we can't at this level when DERCO comes and present financial figures and then we said that there was a challenge with the figures that we have done. So I think we must insist that, look, moving forward, that when there is changes in financial information presented to the portfolio committee, there must be formal reasons, because I think political leadership must insist that we can't agree on divergence without due reasoning and explanation to the portfolio committee. So I'm with the member on that specific issue, and I think what we will do and what I will do, Honourable Chair, is to formally take it up, because I think it will be recorded in the minutes, so that we further probe this issue. We because this 6th administration, we must probe it, because if I was in a meeting and then today the information is different, then if this data comes from the same accounting officer that presented us in the last meeting, then I think my commitment as the Deputy Minister is that let's get a definitive clarity on the matter, and in the next portfolio committee, we will actually give a feedback on that one, Honourable Chair.
DM, we can't have this report with discrepancies at all as the portfolio. I remember there was a particular report presented, and now there's this, which is in fact picked up by one of the members of the portfolio. Now, before we debate tomorrow, or before the end of business today, the report must be ATC'd. And then we can't ATC a report which is not a true reflection of what we were presented with in our previous meeting. Now, DERCO must provide us with an explanation or clarity on this particular issue before the end of business. In fact, after this meeting, because the responsibility of officials of Parliament that are assisting the portfolio is to ensure that all systems are ready for tomorrow. And part of the important aspect of that is to ATC the report. So it would be very comforting if we get that clarified with your assistance, of course. Thank you. Honorable Monsieur? Honorable Monsieur? Oh, Are you covered?
I'm covered, Chairperson.
Okay. Is there any other issues? Clarity? Are we happy with what we are raising as part of the additions on the report? Can we then get a mover for the adoption of the report with the issues which are supposed to be included as raised by this meeting?
Chairperson,
Honorable Chair.
Can I please ask a question?
Okay.
Are we going to adopt the report when we are still not clear about which figures are correct? Are we not going to wait for DERCO to give us the true figures so that when we adopt, then we know that we are comfortable with what the correction that DERCO has made?
But then we can't sit here and wait for figures, Honorable Member. As and when figures comes, I think the support staff of the portfolio will send an email to all members before the report is ATC'd. Because if we sit here and wait for DERCO to respond on this, we will be like playing marbles. And we must continue with other businesses of the day in Parliament, because we've got other responsibilities as well as legislators. Now, what I want to propose is that after this meeting, the Secretary of the Committee will communicate with DERCO as and when we get correct figures. Those figures will be sent by email to all the members, and members will be required to comment on that information, so that we are able to submit an appropriate report to the ATC. Otherwise, if we sit here and wait for DERCO, if the DG was around, we would ask the DG to come here as in now, but the DG is not here. Is he in Cape Town? Then if the DM, can you call your DG? Can your DG please come here at once? If he's in Cape Town, then we can adjourn for 5 minutes. Okay. Yeah.
I saw the president resign. Are you speaking?
Is the DG here? Where is Dino? Why did he not come to this room? DG, it's me who called you to this meeting. I don't know these corners and caucuses that you have on the sidelines with these people that you are meeting with. It's problematic, this thing. Why is your team not in this meeting? You arrive in Cape Town, you come here, and then you sit in offices instead of coming to the portfolio. You see what happens now? Why did you come to Cape Town today or yesterday? Because the budget vote is tomorrow. You came here, no apology from you. Your principals are here, and you are not here. So the Deputy Minister must account for you, or on your behalf, with your team. That thing should not be happening. It should never, ever happen again. You are the accounting office. You were supposed to sit in this meeting, because you are discussing what you presented to us as a committee last week, and you are not here with your team. There's serious discrepancies on your report. Who must account? The Deputy Minister? Then who must account? Why did you come here? Why are you in Cape Town?
Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I really apologize. I honestly did not overlook this meeting. I was in another meeting, and I thought it was an in-committee meeting. And I really apologize unreservedly. I take responsibility for this omission, and it was not intentional at all. Pardon me for my omission and ignorance of the thing. I'll never repeat that in my life.
There's a problem with your report. Numbers do not tally.
Yeah.
Eh? Is that the point of before?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Ask for your indulgence. Because if we don't correct this thing formally, in a formal meeting, the DG is saying that he thought that the meeting is in committee. Even if the meeting is in committee, it does not exclude the DG and the team. So I think that excuse is not really holding any water, but I think we can just accept the apology in general, but not that the meeting was in committee. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mulder?
Yes, Chairperson, I understand that, but I must also say that do we expect the DG to attend all portfolio committees in the coming financial year, or do we invite the DG on specific cases and then he's supposed to be here? He just should be fair as well.
I don't know where you're getting it, Honorable Mould. The DG is in Cape Town, and issues arises in the meeting. And fortunately, we are discussing what is in their best interest. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist that they were supposed to be in this meeting. And we did not receive any apology from the department. Now, here is a problem. It has arisen in their absence. Okay? So what is raising and what you are raising, it can happen in future, but this one specifically, the department was supposed to be here. The principals are here. Why are they not here? Are we in a static room of a DA or a portfolio committee meeting here? No, we are not. It's a portfolio committee meeting preparing for the budget, by the way. So it was very important for the DG and his team to be here. The CFO is not here. He's in Pretoria, and we talk numbers. We talk numbers. An under-budgeted amount of more than 3 million. Are we going to adopt such a report as the portfolio with such discrepancies? I don't think so. So as and when we want them, definitely we will invite them to come. But this one, it was compulsory for them to be here. It's not negotiable, DG. But we accept your apology. Should not happen next time. Honorable Chief, I will ask you to explicitly take the DG through what we've picked up.
Thank you, Chair. Like I informed the committee chairperson, is that just between last week and this week's committee meeting, we have received three different sets of figures. And if you had to look at the first one that was sent to us last week, when your department presented to us and these queries were raised by myself, you guys were very clear that what you presented to us in your meeting was the correct official version. This morning when we went to the report, we got a new set of figures. The discrepancy between the first set that was given last week and the one that your department reported on had a movement of 70 million. And you guys explained to us that it was done because your figures were different from what was presented. And that the presentation you did was the official figures from the finance department. Today, we find another variance of over 300 million. And I'll just take you to Program 5, International Transfers. In the first draft that we received, it was sitting at 855 million. The second one came again to 855 million. Today, it sits at 1.1 billion. Let's look at administration. It was sitting at 1.4 in the first one. It went to 1.7. And today it sits at 1447.8. If you look at what happened to international relations, the first presentation was 3084. When we looked through the presentation, it was 3054. And today it's 3018. International Cooperation Program 3 and Public Diplomacy Program 4 seems to be a constant. But when you come again to international transfers, like I said, that's where the 300 million seems to have been diverted between last week, your presentation, and this week's final report. And yet there is no notes to tell us why those variables had occurred. Thank you, Madam Chair.
There we go, DG.
Honorable Chair and honorable members, as I said earlier, I'm trying to get the copy of the annual report from annual performance plan from which I didn't bring now, to just verify. We are checking the discrepancies as to whether it may not have been occasioned by the indicative figures vis-a-vis the actual allocation. I would request the indulgence of the committee to allow me to quickly just check with the source documents and against the presentation to be able to answer the committee appropriately why the explanation. Where I'm seated, I just got these figures from the analysis of the committee. And I have to check it against my document. So I'm requesting to have an opportunity to check the presentation. Oh, yes, these are figures from the APP, and then they are different from the slide that was presented last week. So I would like to just check what could have been the difference. I still recall that the honorable member did raise a point which was thought to have been answered then. And I'm going to just interact with the acting CFO to check, because when we were asked then, it looks like the discrepancy was well explained. And it seems now that that was not the case. As I came without having taken every document that I could verify from, I was requesting permission to just verify in order to give a full explanation to the Honorable Committee. From the top of my head, I may make even more mistakes because these are figures.
Are you requesting 5 minutes? Again? Are you requesting that we adjourn? DJ, 10, okay. Let's adjourn for 10 minutes. Let's give him 10 minutes. Honorable Chet, it's fine. Okay, DJ, please.
These figures, which is what my CFO tried to explain, that these figures as presented in the actual APP, which is done much earlier than when we come here, is the fact that we did not take into consideration the final allocation letter in which all the movements, especially from Program 1, we used Program 1, then we reallocated to Program 5 in order to cover the cost. It should be 100 million, additional 100 million for the AU membership. My apologies that in our explanation, which could have assisted, that when this matter was taken directly the annual performance plan, would not have adequately explained that the baseline the indicative baseline is as it is in the APP, but then when we presented, we then considered the last allocation after our failure to have sourced additional funding, where they say use what you have. That's why, honourable members, the actual allocation remains the same, when the only difference would be in respect of those programs in which this reprioritization took place. So in future we will really put an explanatory note, so that as the source document should be the actual source document, whatever changes it will be explained fully to enable honorable members to apply their full minds on the full understanding. I must admit again that, yes, this I did not ignore the meeting of the committee. I would have really wished to have done what I'm doing now in a much calmer way had I been able to be there. And thank you.
Putin, did you? Putin, what are you saying? Are you saying what we have here is a wrong version of what you have? Or you are saying we must put what you are telling us on the report? Utini teaching.
Honorable Chair, this presentation that we made to the Honorable Committee, on this presentation, we gave updated figures based on the final allocation, which yes. And this was picked up, by the way, then, and it was explained. It may not have been done in the manner I'm doing now. And as a result, there will be differences of allocation per program, as between Program 1 and Program 5, and the areas where we could have made to get the 100 million needed for the membership fees of the AU. And what I was saying was, we did not fully explain to the committee based on the fact that as the figures in the APP would have given a different figures, then what comes in as per allocation could have explained better why there will be differences between what we presented and what we have in the APP.
What would have given us different figures? It would be an issue which was raised by honorable members around budgeting in rands and compensating in dollars. That would have given us different figures, that one. And you explained it there. And it did not give us different figures. Ne? And then, now, I'm more confused. Honorable members, do you want a bite on this thing? Honorable Ngosi, Msani, Honorable Msani, Honorable Chetty, Honorable Mshe, Honorable Banza. That
would. No, Chair, I think for what we should do is that for the record, we should go through the questions raised by Honorable Chet, the discrepancies, figure by figure, so that the DG confirms that the actual figure is figure B instead of figure A. And then we go to the next one. It's figure C instead of figure D. That puts on our records for our report an actual response. The narrative as to the explanation, maybe the DG can craft that, but I think let's go through the questions that's raised by Honorable Chetty to say, you said in the presentation the figure is A, your indicative is B, which is which? We're taking the figure as actual, and then we go through those figures and then we close the meeting.
How is that going to help us? Honorable Ngosi, how is he going to do it? In the absence of the CFO? Only the CFO can liberate us from the situation we are in now. We can do that thing word for word, figure by figure, but as long as the CFO has not given us anything, but it's fine. Let me hear from other members.
Chairperson, I wanted to recommend the same thing so that maybe we can also get to assist him, because by the looks of things, it looks like there was the original Treasury report which allocated a budget, and then now what has happened, they've moved about 300,000 to the 300 million to the transfers. So he can do figure by figure so that he can see where the money was appropriated to.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Madam Chair, the first thing, I hope that the DG is not casting aspersions as to whether I read to understand or whether I listen to understand. That's very important, because I hear clearly what was explained last week in the meeting. The explanation by the CFO was captured perfectly. When I raised the discrepancies putting each program on the front original index, as opposed to the breakdown in each of the five programs where the discrepancy was. The very same example that you were giving us right now was the explanation she had given to us to say that when this report was prepared and what she presented was the factual one. So that was done last week. That's the first point of departure. So let's make it very clear. I understood what she said. There was no misunderstanding for you to repeat it. And that's where I may have made a mistake. So when she presented her report and the figures differed, we accepted that it was a correct version as per what she presented, not what was in the report. So we accepted that. Consequently, we're sitting with a report today, and already There was a first variant within the allocation of 70 million between what was written and what she explained to us. That's the first one. From what she explained to us and the breakdown we were given last week to what we presented with today, there's another 300 million that has been a variance in between the programs. What I want you to understand, DG, through your chair, it's not the 100 million that's been a variance and been moved around. It's 300 million. So if you want to justify the 100 million being the AU, and that's the fees that you're saying was moved across, I want to enlighten you. Program 5 was allocated 855 million. Currently, as we look at it, it's got 1.1 billion. It's not gone from 855 to 955, which is what was the explanation given last week. So if there was this discrepancy around 100 million being moved, and your justification that it was moved to international transfers because of the AU fees, I would have said to the Madam Chair, we'll accept it because it's 100 million. But it's not that. So every time, and this is my concern, Madam Chair, is that last week when we sat in the meeting, the figures given to us was 1.7 for Program 1, 3054 for Program 2, 564 for Program 3, 322 for Program 4, 855 for Program 5. What we're sitting with today is 1.4 for Program 1, 3 million for Program 2, 564 for Program 3, 322 for Program 4, and 1.155 for Program 5. There is no variance for 100 million in there. It's 300 million. Thank you, Madam Chair. And sorry, Madam Chair, I think it's unacceptable for us as members of the 6th Parliament, who have just been inducted here, to come and assist the department who have been running this year for far longer than any one of us have been here, and expecting us to tell them what they should be doing in reports that they present to us. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Honourable Chair, are you covered?
Chairperson, it's going to be very difficult to understand what the DG is trying to say without having the figures in front of us. I think he needs to have a conference call with the CFO and try and sort out the figures, because otherwise we are not going to understand. I will not understand. I don't know other members. We need to see the figures in writing so that when the explanation is made, we can do the calculations and ensure that it makes sense. For me, it doesn't make sense.
Honourable Swart, is it you before?
Chair, I think what at the end of the day we also need is to get what is really the final figure that the department is telling us. Because once we have agreed on that figure, we are no longer going to change it. At this point in time, we really don't know. But also, Chair, I just want to check, is this constituting an over budget, this variance of 300 million? Because she talked about moving funds within what they have, which I think in terms of the accounting practices, it's allowed to do the internal reallocation. Is what we're talking about a reallocation within the budget, or it's something that is now over and above what they don't have? Because the principle, you can't spend what you don't have. That's a basic principle in any financial accounting. So, Chair, I think if we can be guided on those principles, so that at the end of the day, we don't take responsibility as a committee that we are the ones who agreed on a final figure. And when the department has to do its job, they say, no, they are shortchanged. We want them to take responsibility. Then we'll, if they say this is the final, we'll support that. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Mulder.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I unfortunately could not attend the meeting last week, so I must be careful in what I say. But I would like to apply my mind and get on board, if I may. I'm not aware of the fact that the department gave us new figures today. What we have today is a report by our own committee section. It's not by the department, it's our own committee section's report. The figures on page 20 of the committee report are exactly the same figures for 1920 that is also in the document of the APP on page 23. And I think when we earlier asked for that document, where the figures came from in this report, it was answered that it comes from the latest document by the APP, this document, on page 23. And if you look at the document, at the figures in our report, as well as in the APP, it's exactly the same figures. The only figures that differ are the ones presented to us or to the committee last week by the department in this slides. If I understand the DG correctly, he says the difference is between the baseline and the actual amounts now where the department is at the moment. I also heard the DG say that although this document was a new document, it's based on figures a long time ago, much later, earlier, basically. So if I understand correctly, there's nothing strange or sinister about what's happening. The figures in our document are exactly the same as the figures in the APP, which were the baseline figures given by the department way earlier. The figures given to us in the slides last week differ in different programs, not only in one program. But if I understand the DG correctly, that is what the Treasury expects of the department when they move funds within the programs. Now, there are changes not only in one. For example, if you look at the last one, international transfers, then the APP figure would be 1.1 billion. But the actual figure is 855 million given by the department last week. It's 300 million less. So if you want to, we could ask the department to give us an explanation. Maybe it was given last week. I was not there. What the differences would be between the APP figures earlier and the actual transfers at this stage, not only in terms of all the programs. And that's all we basically need. There are differences between those in more than one program, and we could go into the process and ask why it was done, but I was under the impression that that was done last week.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Sort, are you covered?
No, I'm covered, Chair, because what I wanted to raise is that if Janelle could explain how she put those figures into her report, Ms. Musala, vis-a-vis what was presented, because I think that's where the whole bumpy and pushy is coming in terms of what was presented and in terms of what was there. But I think that Honorable Mulder has now clarified in terms of the amounts being the same in the APP and what is in the actual report, because I wanted her to give that clarity, because it seems like everybody is raising that vice versa what was presented and what is in the actual report now. Thank you.
I think we must understand the bone of contention on the report. One, there's a report which was given to us by the researcher and our content advisor. The actual figures is per treasury allocation. That's one. Two, there's an APP which had figures which was presented to us as a committee last week. Today, there's this. Now, in those reports, they may look the same, but there's 300 million variance. DG. That's why you asked that. There's that 300 million variance that must be clarified, which does not find expression as per the allocations of the actual report of Treasury. And questions were raised last week. Now, I think the suggestion which was saying, DG, get the final budget
from the CFO so that we are able to put the correct budget on the ATC of Parliament. And that should be the one that we'll be adopting. Otherwise, we can't go on like this. We're going to adjourn another adjournment, and on top of an adjournment, it's another adjournment. Until we get the actual figures that are going to be presented. In fact, the minister also must speak on those figures. What is she going to speak on? Discrepancies. It can't be allowed, that thing. Never. So we need to get the CFO and get the actual final figures. We don't want this thing of indicative baseline and so on and so forth, because it's not going to assist us. We want the final budget of the department to be presented here by your good self in the absence of the CFO. I don't know how you're going to, but you are the accounting officer, you must do it. So that we are able to do the adoption and then we move forward. Honorable Chair.
Thank you for the indulgence, Madam Chair. And again, Madam Chair, you see, it's very difficult when people are not at the previous meetings and start to cast us aspersions as to whether some of us understood what we're talking about. Exactly what you said. We've always indicated that the baseline was correct, that figures stayed constant, that the variances that have changed from meeting to meeting to meeting. And a simple example right now is that the GD told us 100 million was transferred because of the AU fees. And I just proved to him it's 300 million. Furthermore, if we don't get this sorted out right now, your problem is going to be if you sit at 855 million in the first report and then you get the 955 in the second report and the 1.155 in the third report. When we go tomorrow to debate, if I want to make a comment or a reference to a budget for any specific program, and then the minister says, sorry, Honorable Chetty, you can't read. It's not 855 million, it's 1.1 billion. If I had to ask the minister, minister, you budgeted 855 million for international transfers, yet it should have been 1.1 billion. Where are you going to find the other money from? So we become complicit in the fact that if we accept it as it is, because like you said, Madam Chair, and I'm going to guarantee you this, between now and the next report we get, figures are going to change. The baseline of the 6.5 billion will stay the same, but in between, figures are going to change. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Mulder, can we have another adjournment for the last time? We allow the DG to get the final report from the CFO by email so that we get copies, all of us as members, and then he presents the report to all of us. We agree or disagree, we adopt or we don't adopt, so that we have what is going to be presented tomorrow. Because what is important for us is to get a report on what is going to be presented tomorrow to be ATC'd. How many minutes do you want, DG, this time?
I'm asking for 15 minutes.
I'm giving you 20.
20 minutes.
I'm giving you 20, DG. 20 minutes from now, it will be 20 past 12. Ne? Yeah, let's adjourn. Thank you.
You're offline, Jason. This is a figure. It's not that one. You know, we...
Honorable Swartz, are you coming back? Where are you going? How? Oh, wow. No, okay. Okay. Mr. Dialende, please, man. Don't disrupt my meeting. Honorable members, the CFO is up in the sky, apparently. She has not landed. She's still an eagle. So we can't wait for eagles. We don't know when are they going to land here. I want to suggest a way forward.
One, the APP report as tabled by DERCO to Parliament and the Portfolio Committee be the one that we are going to use, because that one has correct figures. Even the 300 million is reflective on that particular report. We can check page 20 of the APP. Because it has no variance, that one. However, it must be noted that the department gave us a report which has discrepancies, which was a report far different from what they presented last week. Now, after the budget vote, Dichi, we are going to call you. You must come and account. You know, we are very serious people here in Parliament. Accountability oversight is among the key responsibilities of committees of Parliament. Now, if we don't do that, we'll be failing the electorate. We'll be failing the electorate dismally. You must come back and account and tell us, how did you compile such a report with so much discrepancies? Do you know how many houses we would build for 300 million for poor people of this country? A lot. So that's what I want to suggest to honorable members, that the report that must be included on our ATC in terms of the figures be the one on the APP. Thank you. I'll note hands on the suggestion. However, tomorrow we need that CFO report, final figures, DG. We need those final figures tomorrow. We need them. Thanks. Honorable Swartz, Honorable Dez, Honorable Mbanda.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we support your suggestions and the recommendations you are giving. What, of course, the biggest recommendation that after the debate, the department comes and account and bring all the necessary officials with it. So I support the move and that we adopt the report with the changes suggested.
Honorable Mwela.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much. I think I want to agree with your suggestion, and furthermore to say the department must make sure that at all times they are books and everything, they must be in order, so that we don't waste time unnecessarily on issues that must have been dealt with accordingly by the department. And this shows that probably there must be serious challenges in that department. And as members of this portfolio committee, I think we are not going to allow such a situation where we'll be confused by smaller issues which was supposed to be attended to by the committee, by the department itself. Now, we want to, furthermore, Honorable Chair, we want to appeal to the DG here that from here and moving forward, this committee must be taken serious. Because today we are discussing a very serious matter, and some of the serious and senior officials of the department are not here. We could have concluded this meeting earlier, but because some of the officials, DG, are not here, and some of the issues yourself, you can't clarify us, because you need to first consult some of the officials and they're not here. So we must avoid such issues. And, Honorable Chair, I think at the end of the day, we need to make sure that somebody must account and somebody must be held accountable. We can't just leave this matter unattended. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Panza?
I'm covered, Chair.
Honorable Chetty?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for that clear directive as to which one we're going to be using. I don't have an issue with that. But on the report itself, the DA will reserve our right on budget vote 6. Thank you. The DA will reserve our right on budget vote 6.
Sorry, Chairperson. Are we voting yet on the adoption?
We are still discussing. Why are we jumping to the adoption of the budget? We have not spoken about the adoption. We are deliberating on a suggestion. Remember, we have not arrived at, because what we are discussing now is very clear, that on the report for the ATC and the purposes of the adoption, one, we use the APP report as presented to Parliament because that report has no discrepancies. That should be the report that is included on the report that will be ATC'd. We adopt the report with amendments. Nay? So that as much as we are going to do that, it does not stop the DG and the CFO from giving us their final figures in terms of their budget by the end of business today, so that we have them as well. But we're saying APP officially was presented to Parliament. Now we need to move from that premise as the portfolio, because we can't adjourn and adjourn. We'll adjourn until dawn if we do the adjournment, because we need the reports. That's what we're discussing. We know that the DA will reserve its right to, it's a long story, that thing. It's been there since I have arrived in Parliament. It's not a new thing. People must consult and so on before whatever. We will get there when we arrive at it. Yeah, we're still in transit. Yeah, thank you. Is there any other issues, honorable members? DM, you want to say a word before I do other things?
No, not actually, Honorable Chairperson, but look, I support the oversight role of the committee and how we robustly deal with these issues. Like I've said, for us, we must emphasize the issues of financial integrity of the figures. So I'll also give the minister a report around the matter, so that when she takes the podium tomorrow, Honorable Chairperson, she's not unequal vocal as it relates to what she needs to say. But I will relay the message of our support for the role of the committee, and to also emphasize, Honorable Chairperson, I mean, during my previous times as a member of Basic Education Portfolio Committee, at all times, the members of the accounting department must attend, the bureaucrats, unless there's a specific directive from the portfolio committee that where it indicates that the bureaucracy and even your political leadership does not have to attend. I just thought I must just raise it. Thank you very much, Lala.
Thank you. If there's no other issue, can we move for the adoption of the report with amendments? Honorable Swartz, Honorable Dez, Honorable Panza.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I move for the adoption of the report with the amendments recommended. Thank you.
Honorable Dez.
I second, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Panza?
I second, Chair.
Is there any opposing view on the adoption of the report? Is there any opposing view? Once, twice, thrice. So we are adopting collectively the report. No opposing views. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.